Hello and welcome to episode 3 of series 2 of the KungFology.com podcast. My name is Jake Newby and with me as ever is Andy Best.
Hello.
Oh, that's a bit different to your normal hellos. Hello.
I know, it was a little less friendly. I've still got a slight lingering headache from my clash of heads on the weekend, which we'll get to in the reviews, and a bit of a sore throat.
Andy's nursing injuries. Actually, before we get going too far, we should mention that this is going to be the last pod for 2 weeks. We're going to take a week off next week.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell a joke now. We're just going to, an announcement and a little anecdote about my head, actually. It's kind of funny because people in work got the wrong idea. But anyway, so Chinese New Year. And we've got this weekend and then towards the end of the week, various times and different people's office policies, it all starts. And the scene will be very, very quiet. Some people will be away, some won't. And there's not as much going on. So
there's naff all going on, basically. So we're not going to have a podcast next week.
That's right, yeah. So basically next week, there definitely won't be one. And then the week after that, sometime a bit maybe later towards the end, we'll come back depending on you know how much things are picking up, but
we're definitely having to talk about.
Yeah, we've probably got nothing to talk about. So next week, definitely. And the story was, there's an unfortunate incident at the gig where I got some bastards, some very inconsiderate and careless bastards' elbow in my head, and as I turned away with that to roll with it, then the person to my side who was getting pushed and in a mosh at the same time, he then sort of like back headbutted me in the face as I turned from being hit with the elbow. It was like a double whammy, and I even had a day off work the next day because I was like completely out of it. Yeah, poor little me. I was completely out of it. And the funny thing was is that I sent a message to my boss so he'd see it in the morning, and I was a bit incoherent, so I didn't really put many details in. I just said that I'd check in later on and that, and I didn't put the exact circumstances of the head hit or anything. I can't even remember what I wrote, but basically I came in to work a couple of days later just to check everything was okay, and people basically thought I'd been, in a fight, that I'd been beaten up in a brawl, and they were all asking me, you don't look that bad, all this kind of stuff. And they've not been able to let it go all week.
Oh, poor Andy.
Yeah, so if anyone from my office is listening to this, it was an accident.
Honest. Yeah, just walked into a door.
That's right. Yeah. See, there was no punchline there at all. It was a true story.
Yeah, it feels a bit weird, that.
It does.
Anyway, so what we're going to talk about this week, we are going to take a look back at last weekend's gigs, as always, including Andy's injuries and what have you.
Yeah.
We're going to have a bit of a talk about Doban and the indie folk artists on Doban who are racking up some impressive listening numbers. And then we'll take a look forward to this weekend's forthcoming gigs, as always, as well, before playing you out with a song from Loudspeaker.
That's right.
Yes. Good.
This is going to be a very a low-key holidays coming type podcast. So what shows did we go to? I'm not even going to attempt to say the day.
So Friday, I went to Zhejiang Dream Factory and caught Andrew Bird, his one-man show.
And I went to Yuyintang for
a slightly different type of gig.
Yeah, it was a very interesting show. It was the English name was Playful Warrior, and it was a kind of alternative Hell United event where it was kind of like the Battle of the Cores. So each of the four, it's like a quadruple headliner and one support, which is a bit odd. But the four main bands each represented a kind of heavy music style ending in the word core.
Was Extremo Core included in that?
It wasn't. No Extremo Core, unfortunately. Balls. And I noticed on Layer Boardza that Zach made a kind of sort of passing reference to that about not being into his Extremo.
Oh, brilliant. It's catching. As long as he's using it in some context,
I was
going to
say,
nice
Zach,
one, Zach,
we got you there. I'm sorry. It's not the other way around. You're using our ridiculous word. But
brilliant. Anyway, sorry. Who are the bands?
Yeah. Well, let's not go into the details yet. And on Saturday, we also had...
Oh, right. Yeah. Saturday, we had... what are their name? I forget. There's two sort of local bands. I never really sort of pay much attention to them, but...
No, I don't know either.
Hang on. Let me check my notes. That's
good rap.
It's like the Archers or something.
I like that.
It says here, duck fight goose and boys climbing ropes.
And one of them has a CD out or something, but we'll get
something
to that
like
later.
That. Right.
So anyway, back to the important stuff, which is not Andrew Bird. Oh, by the way, I'm going to say this now or I'm going to forget. Sorry. So I missed this sort of opportunity, right? I've got to do it on the podcast now. So during Boys Climbing Ropes' set, Jordan wanted to make a fairly, you know, sincere and heartfelt reference to something he'd heard Andrew Bird say at the gig, where he said...
Andrew Bird said, it must be really difficult living in this city or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. And he wanted to say that because a lot of Boys Climbing Ropes songs are kind of about that. And of course, I, you know, thought Andrew Bird sounded a bit lame or whatever, so I wanted to, you know, shout something out for a bit of fun. And I said something like, Andrew Bird sucks ass. And a couple of other people shouted things out too. But I was kicking myself because as I was walking home later, I realized that that was going to be one of the few opportunities where I could use the phrase. I don't want to go off too long about this, but if you're familiar with South Park, there's one joke where someone's called a donkey raping shit eater. And once upon a time, I was watching the WWF, now the WWE, maybe, the sports entertainment wrestling show live.
Not the Nature Fund.
WWF. So right. I was watching like Triple H and The Rock put on their show live in Calgary once, and someone's holding up a sign which said, Shawn Michaels is a donkey raping cockmaster. And ever since then, I've always like wanted to use that somewhere. So what I should have said was, Andrew Bird is a donkey raping cockmaster. But I never did.
Missed opportunity.
I did. I missed the opportunity, but I've made up for it now.
At least you've said it three times now on record, on a podcast, which was, you know, it's going to be there for history.
It is. And now I've got that out of my system. Let's go to the first gig, which was Playful Warrior. Jake, how about that gig?
I don't know. I wasn't there. So how about that?
What did you watch the videos? I put some videos up on the blog.
Yeah, I did. I watched, that Six Shot one came up eventually, didn't it? And they've put up quite a few videos, I think, of nearly every band, like on the Union.
Apart from Six Shot, so they use mine.
There you go.
So I'm going to have to talk about that one because I was there. And then, Jake, you'll have to
give
Boys Climb Ropes over to you. So, so for headlining bands, each are kind of a core style. And this was a very good gig, in fact, and we're going to use one of the band's songs on the pod today, Loudspeaker, I Will Be Back. So you had, first up, there was a support act called La La Ying.
With a hot bassist, right?
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Sorry, I'm the bassist, just overexcited.
By the bass player. But they were very much a supporting act in that the other bands are kind of, you know, fairly developed.
The core band.
So first we had Forget and Forgive, who are actually the newest of the four, but they're kind of cementing their style and their material now, and they build themselves as emo core. The next band, Six Shot, used to be a traditional 90s sounding thrash band in the vein of early Slayer, but now they've gone into this kind of they've added this kind of low grinding, tuned down sort of thrashy side to it, and they were billing themselves as deathcore. Then Loudspeaker, who are a staple on the scene, they're 10 years old now, and they used to be a kind of sort of skate punk type band. They started switching more into hardcore punk, and now they call themselves a hardcore band, and they're very, very heavy, almost like heavy metal. And finally, the headliners of the night, although it's a quadruple headliner, but the last band on were Chaos Mind, who call themselves metalcore, because they're not like old traditional metal. They've got modern sounds, but they're not like new metal. They don't rap or have samples in it, or, you know, pull a Linkin Park or anything. But they have these kind of more modern,
thank goodness,
more modern sort of sounds and nuances to the music. So they're called metalcore. So the first thing about this show was that it was packed. And when I say packed, I don't mean like the Mushrooms gigs, like sardine pack, but there was a good audience of 200 to 300 people there, enough to start a mosh, and it was really, you know, like a really great atmosphere, and a proper metal mosh did break out with like proper like headbanging and windmilling, and
you see it on the video. It's like, yeah, so, you know,
yeah,
it's as lame as that sounds. I wasn't there, so yeah, you can watch it on the video though.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it was awesome. La La Ying are, I don't want to put too much scrutiny on them. They're literally brand new, but
they do have a hot bassist.
Yeah, this girl who plays the bass is a proper metal bassist. She's the most like capable and badass member of of the band. I mean, she she wears the, like, the last time we saw them, she had on these huge, like, gauntlet things. And now, this time, she wore, like, a leather sort of terrorist face mask and had a studded, a proper, I mean, a big spiky neck collar. And she slings her bass really low. And she was really badass. And the rest of the band,
blared away.
You know, didn't really quite live up to to sort of her standards there on the style. But, I mean, they did all right. They did all right. And then the first kind of sort of headline band, build band, was Forget and Forgive, who we've had on the blog.
Who are fucking
a lot recently. Really good. And guys, this time, a bit of a treat. Normally, they play the four-song set, three originals and their cover. This time, they played two more originals, like a longer set. They sounded really good, too. Everyone rocked out. Yeah, they were really good. But, again, as much as I like them, there's now going to be a gap. There's now going to be a step up, because the final three bands, Six Shot, Loudspeaker and Chaos Mind, have all been around a lot longer. They're a lot more mature, both as people and as musicians in a lineup. And as much as the first two bands were good and we love Forget and Forgive, these next three bands were like a step up in development. And right, this is where the crowd really, really liked it. Right. So Six Shot had the perfect slot. So being mainly locals and a younger crowd, they suffered from the whole, it's 11 o'clock, we got to get the last train back thing. Yeah. And so Six Shot had the perfect slot. Everyone who was going to come had now turned up. It was busy. People were warmed up. And it was about, like, I don't know, 10:15 or whatever, right? Yeah. So they had the prime time. And they just absolutely kicked ass. Their sound was dead on. It was loud and it was clear. I mean, they have this real sort of, like, I don't want to use the word droning, sounds negative, but really grindy, tuned down sound to them. And they mixed these kind of really fast sort of double time thrash out headbanging sections with these really, like, punishing slow grind, they're called grindcore, grinding sections. And it just went off, perfectly.
You mentioned that the guitars are tuned down there. Where are they tuned down to?
Oh, no, I'm being pulled up on my cheesy joke. And they were tuned right down to hell.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's right. So,
but they were great, right?
I mean, they were really just really good. So it really went off, and it was like one of the best heavy metal gigs I've been. And I've been to a lot of heavy metal gigs, and I used to go literally like bi-weekly for a certain 3 years of my life, and seen a lot of metal bands, you know, big famous ones and not so famous ones, small venues, large venues. And me and Steve-O, one of our friends, were sort of at one point, we were just off at the side wall when I tried to take the video. And, you know, we're watching the crowd going nuts. It was proper dark as well. They'd done the lights a bit better.
Yeah.
You know, it was proper dark in the audience and just enough on the stage. And it was just grinding away. The sound was perfect. People were going off. It was all the grunting and screaming. And we were just there, just sort of off in the whole world of it. You know, it was a perfect sort of heavy metal gig moment. And then
next up,
Loudspeaker. So like I said, they used to be a kind of straight up skate punk sort of band, and then they've become heavier and heavier until now they're a metalcore band. And I picked up their new EP at the show, which is called, named after the title track, I Will Be Back.
Which we'll hear later on.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a pity, because they were equally as good and sounded as good and played as well as Six Shot. And people were equally as up for it, but about literally half the audience went home.
Right, people would start drifting away by that time.
Yeah, they'd gone, just purely because of, like, other reasons, transportation, not staying out late. Whatever the reasons are, if you go to smaller gigs here, I'm sure you're familiar with it, or you've seen it, right? So that was the only, when I say problem, it wasn't a problem for the people left over, because they played a great show. I don't know what to say about them. You have to go and see them, because the style's really hard to describe now. They've still got this kind of like hardcore punk band aura about them, but their riffs they're playing are very similar to some of the stuff you might even hear Chaos Mind play. And I'm really going on now. So Chaos Mind.
Sorry, keep going.
Last band of the night. I only actually saw one song of theirs, because it was getting really late and I had to sort of, work on weekends, unfortunately, and I'm a lightweight and I'm just not true to metal. And a wimp or whatever, girly man, as Arnold Schwarzenegger shouldn't say that, because I mean, if he comes to the Shanghai scene, he'll find out that within the punk and metal bands, the girls are as in the case of one band tonight, you know, a lot more badass than he is. Yeah, that's right.
How was the one song of Chaos Mind?
Yeah, really good. I mean, they're good. I mean, go to Doban, go to our blogs. We'll have the link on this. If you go to Chaos Mind's Doban page, they have a demo called Scream, which they've put up there recently, and I blogged this, and it's, you know, it's amazing, and they were good for it. So
go and see them live as well. I think, I mean, like Chaos Mind, you know, I think they're one of those bands that just work live. You know, I mean, you know, you can, you know, they've got some great songs on their Doban page. You can listen to the demos and what have you, but yeah, just, you know, go and see them live. Like, it's a real kind of experience seeing these bands play, you know.
Yeah, well, on the last pod, or the one before, I forget, we were talking about, you know, what Shanghai bands could go and represent in Beijing, or who could play a you know, a headlining set, an hour of original material and a good quality and developed. And when I was at this this show on Friday, I realized we'd done these bands a big injustice by not mentioning them in that discussion, because, you know, the metal and heavy bands are a niche, and this is a niche within a small scene. So even if they are good, they're not going to pull people in like a Cossack Cars tour or something, right? Because it's niche in a small scene. But watching them, I realized that Six Shot, Loudspeaker, I mean, Loudspeaker especially, they've been around 10 years, you know, and Chaos Mind, you know, could headline a gig in any city in Shanghai that has metal fans, and the fans will be up for it and won't be disappointed. And maybe that'll start to happen via the Hell United collective, because they're branching out to cities near here. I don't know, you've been at festivals more than me in China. Do the sort of the metal, the heavier bands make it into the festival circuit?
Yeah, some of them do. Like, although it's interesting, because I've talked to Sam a bit about, Sam Dust from Chaos Mind a bit about this, and he was saying how sometimes he'll get, like, festival promoters and stuff will approach them and say, oh, look, you know, we sort of came across your music or whatever, we hear you in a band. You know, can you send us a link or something? And he'll send them like their Doban link or whatever, and then they play the songs, and then they're just like, whoa, okay, no, it's just Tai Chowler, you know, like Tai, like too kind of noisy, like too kind of, yeah, they can't take it, and then so they don't get booked so much, you know. So this is partly why the Hell United thing has sprung up, because he's just, well, you know, and the Playful Warrior thing as well, it's just like, well, whatever, we'll organize ourselves then. And right. Yeah, I mean, all right, maybe they're not pulling in massive numbers at the moment, but the people they are pulling in, it's like a real dedicated crowd. And you know, it's funny when you do get a band who's slightly more metalish playing these festivals. I mean, it kicks off. You know, people are really up for it.
No, of course. I mean, when I was in my metal loving youth, I mean, heavy metal and hard rock festivals were a huge thing. I mean, one of the staples of the season before the kind of, you know, before like the kind of the, I don't know, the Reddings or the, I don't know, these festivals come and go, before the indie festivals became such a huge phenomenon in Britain, such a like a. Even crossover festivals like Creamfields, I mean, Glastonbury always. But I mean, since the festival became such a huge thing, before all this, Donington Monsters of Rock used to be like one of the festivals, right? Anyway, we're sort of getting off that. So yeah, so don't, let's not go over the, let's not sort of just gloss over these bands. Loudspeaker, Six Shot and Chaos Mind, those are three, you know, accomplished bands who you know, please their fan base greatly.
Definitely.
So the next gig...
Speaking of monsters of rock. No.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
So the next gig, Saturday night, Yuen Tang, Boys Climb Ropes were releasing their second EP, Except for the Darkness, and supporting were Duck Fight Goose. And
this is all you, go on.
I know I just go on about these all the time, but I mean, these are just two of my favourite bands. Full stop, basically. They really are. And like, you know, Duck Fight Goose, who opened the night, I've seen this band, you know, most of the gigs that they've played, I think, to be honest, like
at least five times, maybe
probably more than that now, I think. Like, well, I've seen them a lot anyway, and they're every time just blow me away, like, really, you know. I just think they're so good. I can't speak highly enough about them. I really can't.
Well, I'll back you up here briefly. They do, you know, like, I mean, really, like, improve a lot each show. Not that they're bad before, but I mean, each show gets like better by quite a large step, and tonight was no exception.
That's the thing, like, you just kind of,
that night was.
That's the thing, like, is that, yeah, you think, oh, wow, that gig was amazing, and then you see them like a couple of weeks later, and then they just go and raise the bar again, even more. Yeah, I just think they really, really are like a quality band.
Well, I mean, I think even now we won't repeat it for the newbies. I mean, we won't describe the general style. You just have to go back.
For my family, the newbies.
The newbies. Oh, that's right, the newbies. There's an interesting point.
This podcast is crammed full of jokes this week, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? All the bad puns coming out. But
sorry, Karen.
Yeah, they're more so, I mean, again, they're an instrumental largely instrumental with sort of atmospheric vocals added. And
sort of adding a few vocals.
The rock parts really rocked, and the kind of more sort of trance-like ambient instrumental sections had everyone drifting away in an ambient-like trance. I mean, it all just worked. And
yeah, it just worked so well, yeah.
But we were here for an EP release, weren't we?
Absolutely. So the main event was Boys Climbing Ropes. And yeah, so this was to celebrate the release of their EP, Except for the Darkness, which is a great record. You know, it's just really, really such a good album. And yeah, I mean, this was sort of one of the best performances I think I've seen Boys Climbing Ropes play almost. It was just everything came together. Like the crowd was there, and the crowd was, you know, kind of really just kicked off, and they were on top form. Like everything sounded great. They were just really, really tight, and they just played like you know that they can play. But I know they kind of just everything felt right that for that gig. You know, it all came together. I thought it was just one of the best sort of Boys Climbing Ropes shows that I've seen. I think,
and it was just one of the best shows we've seen at Yu Yin Tang. Yeah, I mean, here's a band where we knew all their songs, right? Oh, and yeah. they played a full headlining set. They got the people in. The crowd went off. Bit more, I don't know, we'll get to that later, but a great crowd, action, dancing and moshing at the gig,
and that's and how
the
it
band
should be,
but the band, you know, were good enough, right?
Yeah.
And well, I don't know, what was your favorite track that you heard like live that night?
I don't know, I'm a big fan of Whale Song. I think that's like that we played on the pod last week. I think that's a really accomplished track. I think it's a really, really good song. I mean, I don't know, I was shouting along to all of them, to be honest with you. And I do like the older stuff as well, I've got to admit. I think, I mean, obviously it was an EP release, so naturally they're going to play the songs off the new EP and what have you. But, you know, when they played what, Dirty Bots and Pleasure to be here.
And it went off.
And people loved it, right? I mean,
yeah.
So don't, you know, don't ditch those old songs, guys. Like, yeah, stick with those as well, please.
They seem very down on that stuff. But, I really like the song Life Knife.
Yeah.
Live and on the EP, because I mean, not only for me does it represent a certain point where the band have come to with the songwriting, but also Little Punk, the local member who's singing, who shares the singing with Jordan. But on that song, it kind of it showcases something about her singing and maybe about where she's at personally as well. I don't know, but I mean, in that song, you can really see that her vocals have kind of evolved.
Yeah,
because it keeps her. It's distinctly, it sounds like Little Punk, right? It's distinctly her. It's unmistakably her voice.
Yeah.
And it still has her sort of like folky, sort of folk style edge that she had a lot on the old EP. But at the same time, there's these little hard sections to it, right? And you just start to see like not range like an opera singer hitting a, you know, 8 octaves like Mariah Carey, but there's this sort of a greater range of sort of expression in her voice, but like through the kind of that kind of deadpan indie restraint sort of style they have.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, her vocals but sound so strong.
Yeah, yeah, and on that song, you can really hear, like, the restraint is there, and it's good, like, for the style. The style fits. But then you have the moments, like, the last repetition of the word and the knife life, and the life knife, sorry, and where it kind of breaks out in this sort of bit. And it just really, you know, I was listening to it about, you know, 10 times a day afterwards, just thinking that was really a high point for the band in
there's
general,
a couple of songs like that that just really sort of, they close out with those real kind of like there's a sort of a line just repeating and just kind of you start shouting along and then like the vocals on it sound so like let's build the space let's build the structures in the spaces they thought told us to never exist, like that line when it just kind of builds and builds and builds and then just being shouted and her vocals just come through so strong on that.
Yeah, and this CD is basically you know, we were always complaining about there being not enough CDs, but the ones that are coming out are like really, really good, and that one is no exception. I mean, it's something that the Shanghai scene, you know, can be proud of, something you can get a lot of mileage out of listening to, and that definitely in the whole band's journey is you can hear it right in there. So the only thing about the show was,
go on.
So, well, I don't know what your perspective was, but I, as you know, we both and me or never shirk from a mosh. In fact, we're always trying to kick them off at a great personal risk sometimes, as well as in more local gigs where it's like us and everyone else is local. There's us and the kind of, we have a little contingent, like the Mushrooms crazy fans. And and we've had a couple of people join us recently, like Josh and Bren from the band Stegosaurus. They're big sort of enthusiasts. And, you know, one kicked off here and it was good, but there were a couple of people there, two or three, who I don't really see at Yu Yin Teng that often, apart from maybe more expat-centric gigs. I know there's maybe one I've seen before, but a couple of lads there were just, you know, it doesn't matter how violent the mosh seems to be, there are sort of unwritten rules, right? And people don't knock people down to the ground. If it's an accident, you get picked up. And
yeah,
it's sort of like all melds into each other, and it's kind of rough, but in a kind of controlled way. And you know, at that gig, there's a couple of lads who were just standing at the sidelines, just doing two-handed, two-footed lunges and pushes into people on purpose because it amused them, right? And they weren't really joining in a kind of mutual way at all. And at one point, there was this guy kind of just off the front row with kind of receding bleach-blonded hair, kind of quite a stocky-looking chap. And I don't fuck he was thinking, but at one point, I don't even know if you noticed, at one point, he literally just, like, floored Sophia, just, like, decked her in the face, right? I don't know if he thought he was pushing someone, his hand slipped, or I don't even know if he noticed because he was half pushing somebody else. But he basically, the top and bottom of it was that Super Sophia, Sophia Wong of Yu Yin Tang, who was just trying to have a dance, literally, it was pretty much the same as if someone just come up and decked her in the head and down she went, and Steve had to pull her up before she got trampled. And I caught elbows in the head like three or four times, the last ones knocking me into somebody else's head and basically sending me into a tiz for a couple of days. And it was... you know, people who were just being fucking assholes, basically. And but it wasn't quite bad enough to ruin it. But nobody else outside the mosh could, like, dance at the fringes. It was impossible. Yeah. You were either defending yourself against the wall or you were in it, right?
Yeah,
so I mean, it's good that it kicked off. But I mean, there were some right. I don't want to use the C word because we've got American listeners and it's a lot stronger there. British people tend to use the...
No, there were some right cunts there.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. So a disclaimer, because when I use that word around, like, North American friends, they sometimes look at me as like,
really?
Yeah, because apparently it's a lot more sexualized.
Fuck them.
That's right. Yeah, in England, just means someone who's like extremely selfish, basically, the extreme. So, yeah, a couple of right cunts at the gig, but I mean, it was just a great night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, brilliant. All right, okay. Then. So, our talking point this week is going to be about it's about Doban and specifically indie folk acts on Doban. But I guess we should probably start with a little, introduction as to what Doban is.
So, Jake, what's Doban?
So, Doban is a Chinese language website, which is it's basically like a sort of, it's kind of a social networking site, but it's mostly geared towards arts and culture. And so, if you read the blog regularly, you'll realize this, that quite a few of the posts will be updates from Doban, almost, basically, sort of. And we often link to Doban pages for bands and what have you.
Our sort of feed, sort of our Doban bands pages feed is to our blog what Twitter is to Shanghaiist, basically.
Right.
just to put it into a kind of, you know, into an understandable picture.
Right. So Doban, but the clever thing about Doban is it can be quite highly localized. So,
you had no idea I was going to throw that in there, did you?
No.
Come on, get it together, newbie. Come on.
Right. So the clever thing about Doban is that it's very highly localized. So you can join groups that are based around particular artists or are based around a particular venue or around a particular scene. And about, I guess, about a year ago now, right, Doban introduced Inyeren, like musician pages, or artist pages.
Mm. And these are kind of, when you have your page there, again, it's like kind of like Facebook with feeds, except the feeds are made up of three areas. One is the Xiaozu, the groups. So you have a group feed of all the groups you've joined. The posts come up in a single feed on your homepage. Then you have your friends activities like a regular one, but you add friends like a regular networking site. So that's separate. Now, when it comes to band and label and venue pages for the music scene, it's separate. You click a button which says follow them. So it actually separates it from your like your friends and your news feed. So any band that you add and any venue that you add, anything they post up, new song, photos, news, will come in one specific feed. So it's become the premier site that the scene is using to organize itself.
Right, that's the thing. I mean even sort of maybe 2 years ago or so, there were a few sites I think that were being used, and they're still being used now. I mean, places like, I mean, I guess like MySpace, there's like a Chinese MySpace, myspace.cn, right? Neochar, which I think is probably sort of gone more towards the arts in terms of like sort of graphic design and those kind of arts. I think it's still very strong in that area. And a lot of the music artists and stuff still use it. But I think Doban has now become probably the site of choice for music, for musicians and for bands and stuff.
Here. Yeah, because it's successfully combined the kind of the networking aspects and the kind of the hosting aspects of your music and events in an accessible sort of single page or single feed standard. And people have kind of flocked to it. But again, as Jake just explained, this has only been around a little over a year and kind of it's really jumped up only kind of quite lately,
right,
in terms of numbers.
Yeah. And certain artists in particular, and this was kind of the thing that we wanted to talk about really, is that, you know, there's certain artists, basically from the sort of indie folk scene, whose numbers on Doban are just incredible, basically. And this is something that you noticed, Andy, right? So you were like clicking through some of the numbers. People like Cover People and Mogu Hong.
Right, yeah. So what happened was I was looking through my band page. I've got about 130 bands added in, including bands from other cities outside of Shanghai. And I was thinking to myself, you know, well, this is over a year old now. And I'd noticed that some of the Maybe Mars bands, when I clicked into their pages, had significantly bigger numbers. It's all on the blog, because these numbers are not big compared to developed music scenes. This is still an underground scene and a kind of a low-key, a popular site, but not... Like, you know, there's over 350 million people in China on the internet,
right,
and Doban has about 2 million registered users. So it's like a kind of a secondary networking site.
It's not Our City on MySpace or something we're talking here, but yeah, you know, yeah, there's significant numbers.
So anyway, I noticed that instead of having a couple of hundred people who go to Yuyintang subscribing to your page and maybe 300 or 400 listens on a song, and that's like individual IPs who've listened to it all or downloaded it, it started to grow a bit, and some of the famous Beijing bands like New Pants or Queen C Big Shark, or the Maybe Mars bands like Carsick Cars, PK14, based in Beijing, now had, you know, into the thousands. They had like 6, 7, 8, 9, heading up for 10,000 people subscribed to their band page, and the listens and the tracks are in the thousands too, right? And I was like, oh, it's starting to pick up. But I mean, Doban claimed to have 2 million registered users, so it's still not big even within Doban, let alone within Chinese internet users.
Right.
But I noticed, right, after a year it's picking up. And then we'd had these talks on the blog and on here about which bands could travel and all this kind of thing. And what happened was I'd noticed a picture someone had posted of Mogu Hong playing in Yugong Yishan. And I was like, really? She can play there and people will watch her? Because I went to the gigs and, you know, it's good on the MP3s, but it was pretty sparse at the gigs here, despite it being popular. So I clicked into her Doban page and also Cover People, Shanghai Indie Folk. And these are sort of like the one person and their guitar storytelling style folk.
Right.
And fuck me. I was like, shit, look at this. They've got like, they're right up there, you know, and their numbers were huge. And I clicked into the home page of Inueren on Doban and saw they were in the top 20 of all bands registered on the site. And Cover People had up to, one song has 39,000 downloads on it or something, and like they've got like as many subscribers as bands like New Pants, right? And
which is incredible, and
Mogu Hong was the same. And these are like literally just two girls and their guitars in, you know, sort of hawking their MP3s about on a couple of sites in Shanghai and playing about once every, I don't know, month at a really low-key
gig. That's the thing, like, I mean, like
they're getting huge now. Yeah.
Like, one of the first posts on my blog, I think, was seeing Cover People down in Linling Josan, like, when they tried to set up the performance space there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, there was just hardly anyone there, really. I mean, it was a really small space anyway. But, you know, we were talking sort of tens, like, probably not even 100 people there, you know, nowhere near that, really.
Yeah.
And she was great, you know, she was, but yeah, it was just a girl with her guitar. And, you know, she writes great songs and they sound great on the MP3s and what have you. But, yeah, to have 39,000 people listening to this song is just incredible.
On Doban, like, yeah, I mean, that's basically blowing. I mean, to put it into perspective, the band in Shanghai, who are the most popular indie rock band or underground band, is the Mushrooms. They, you know, totally pack out every gig now. They're in the process of trying to sign a deal with a Taiwan-based record company. And but again, there's no details about that because it's just ongoing and difficult. But yeah, they're the biggest band. And Cover People and Mogu Hong, obviously off the strength of their songwriting and their MP3s, have got triple their figures. You know, triple the next nearest bands. Of course, they don't get the same people to the gigs, but I mean, something's obviously happening, something's obviously building there.
Right.
And I recently brought this up again in a post, and I made it mainly about the Beijing-based artist Zhang Chenchen. I get the two Chens right there. Different. I might have screwed that up, but yeah, that's. And I brought it up again in that post because yeah, the indie folk artists in Beijing, they got a lot of the kind of northern folk sound, a little bit more traditional instruments creeping in, but still kind of like the sort of one man or one woman and their guitar bass. These artists are starting to take, you know, the online community by storm now.
Right.
This is a big thing. So maybe this is some. These are two other bands we can add. We've added the metal bands to people who are taking off and can bring people to a show. Maybe we can start bringing in people like it's Mo Gu Hong, which means red mushroom, and cover people.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Jake. I mean, you've seen cover people. I've seen Mo Gu Hong. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, she was great. I mean, I did enjoy like her live show. I mean, just like I say, I mean, it is just her and her guitar. But I mean, that's kind of the, you know, that's where her music comes from. It's just her great songwriting, and she obviously has a real knack for a tune. But I mean, like I say, those numbers just blew me away because maybe in the context of things, 39,000 people doesn't sound like a lot. But when you think that in Shanghai, you know, at Yuntang, a gig is packed out when there's like anything more than 300-400 people there. I mean,
if you've got 39,000 subscribers, you should then be able to play the key underground venues in the main Chinese cities and fill it every time. You should be able to carve out an income for yourself playing shows, right?
Definitely, yeah. So,
okay, we have got about three or four minutes left, and luckily there's bugger all to preview. So,
yes, how convenient. All right, good.
Well, there's one gig we've got our eye on first, and then we'll sort of run the other ones off quickly. So
there is one. I mean, partly because of a paucity of options, I think, to be fair. But Friday night out at Live Bar, we've got it's being organised by Fanchi Chardan, I think, but he's not playing. The headline band is basically New Vector. This is a band that we saw back in October or November, I think. They played a Ling Ling Zhou San showcase. And then I went up and saw them at Live Bar, I think, either the day after.
You put a video on the blog, didn't
you? That's right, yeah. And, you know, they were a pretty new band, obviously, but really, really liked them. I was really impressed.
Yeah, dreamy indie sort of pop rock of the kind that I said I felt like I'd walked into The Bronze, the club from Buffy. I mentioned that on a podcast. And this group of bands, Fanchi Chaodan, the folk artist, is also heavily involved in 0093 and the promotion of new bands. And his speciality is kind of the 0093 folk and the indie folk acts. And it was him that put on the Cover People gig we're just talking about. But he has another thing as well. The younger bands are also kind of not split, as in they don't mix, but there's also a kind of a Yangpu collective of bands. And we hear some bands talking about that. There's a rehearsal studio or two up there. There's Live Bar up there, 021 Bar. And a few other smaller places. But there's some bands that identify with being from the university district up there. And I think this is what this gig represents, sort of newer bands coming up out of the 093's Yangpu contingent and with Fanchi Chaodan and his other band, Baozhou Wenyo, sort of doing the organising. So I've always been meaning to go and check this up, and I think I've pretty much made up my mind to make the trip. Now we've got all those new metro stations and all that.
Yeah, right. So there's four bands playing that night, but yeah, obviously New Vector would be the pick of it. If you don't fancy making the trek out to Yangpu, although yeah, it is only about a 2-minute walk from a Line 4 metro station now. Over at Yuntang, there is a sort of, I think they're billing it as like a retro rock night.
It's called Vintage. It's kind of like a, from what I can see, a kind of a rerun of an earlier logo show, right?
Well, there's Jehoshaphat Blow and the Blah Blah Blahs are like the sort of the main band, and they're logo last weekend.
And didn't you mention that is that Toshi who used to be in the Dropkicks?
Yeah,
and who's in the Snots? So that's his band, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then there's the other people supporting them. One's called Gouda, not like the cheese. It's Gooda, who I know nothing about, I'm afraid. And the other support act is billed simply as Becca, who I kind of assume is Becca from Dovetail Joints. But
right. So maybe we're going to see a more sort of like dressed down sort of guitar set, sort of again folk, maybe folky or storytelling oriented set. I don't know, I don't want to misrepresent it because I know nothing about it, or even if it's the same Becca, but I mean, she's, you know, she's good with that kind of thing. So I mean,
if it is you Becca,
sorry.
So those are your two choices for Friday.
Saturday,
Yuen Tang has Uyga headlining.
Okay.
And these are the guys who won the Shanghai round of the Battle of the Bands competition.
Yeah, again, and Hassan, the singer, famous for being, he used to basically be in residency at Logo Bar, and I think Logo Bar's Maxime plays the drums in the act, maybe. I'm just sort of, time is gone, and I'm just sort of scratching around for some details to throw at you, but Uyga are going to, and they're like a rock, like classic rock lineup, so that could still be a good show on. A good rock show on Saturday night.
Definitely. Yeah. And then over at Live Bar, there's like three sort of student bands, who none of whom I've heard of. So there you go.
Sounds good to me.
And then on Sunday at Yuen Tang, there is Rezo number 11. Usual suspects, Xu Cheng and Mai Mai.
And what style is that for people who...
That's your kind of... it's your experimental music, basically. So
and also they kind of heavily improvise on those nights too, right?
It's usually what happens is they'll all come on and play like a solo set, and then they'll kind of do like a group improvisation at the end. They're always interesting thing to see. I mean, Mai Mai is like an interesting guy to watch. Xu Cheng is one half of Torturing Nurse, also very interesting guy to watch, and they're going to be joined by Olaf Holches. I've probably said that horribly. And someone called Da Xiao, again, both of these acts I don't know much about, but worth checking out.
I'm gonna make a point. I'll probably get to more than one, but I'm definitely gonna go and check out New Vector.
I think that's our pick for the weekend too.
Yeah, which leads us to our song in tribute and in apology to sort of overlooking the hardcore and metal scene in the last blog. I managed to pick up Loudspeakers EP. I Will Be Back. So we're gonna play the title track, which of course is called
I Will Be Back, and we
you didn't
will
say
back.
That in a Schwarzenegger voice.
Oh,
did you?
Shit, sorry, I didn't realize
I don't want to trivialize it. It's a great track.
I didn't realize I was being teed up for that. All right, yeah, so the track's called I Will Be Back, and we will be back in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Bye.